So most of the big moves have been made, and the Rams' odds have gotten better with no draft picks. It's coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Travis Rogers. Thanks for checking out Locked On Rams. Make sure you click that subscribe button so you get it every single day. And while you're doing that, why don't you check us out on Locked On Rams on YouTube as well. Not only am I your host for Locked On Rams, but I also host the Rams pregame and postgame show on their flagship station, ESPN 710, right here in Los Angeles. I also host the Travis and Sliwa show, 10A to 1P on 710 ESPN. Check that out, too. Right? Check it all out. Everything. You should listen to everything every single day. That's how it works. Okay, got a great podcast scheduled for you today. We're going to talk about the Rams schedule. We will know very soon which order that the games are going to come out in, but we also know that the Rams have a very tall task ahead of them when it comes to repeating as Super Bowl champions. That's coming up in just a little bit. There's some great video that's been going around of the back and forth between Sean McVay and Les Snead when they were getting ready to make their first pick of the 2022 NFL draft. I want to kind of listen to some of that. I want to read some of it to you and kind of just give a little bit of my opinion on the insight that makes those two guys work as well together as they do. But let's jump right into it right here. This is what I want to start with. The Rams odds, depending on where you look, right? I know that, you know, we talk a lot about Bet Online. We'll get to that coming up in a minute. The Rams there, the Rams at Bet Online are at the, they are tied for the fourth best odds, 675 to the Buffalo Bills. The Bucks have them at plus 800. The Chiefs are at 1,000. Green Bay and the Los Angeles Rams are plus 1,100. So they are tied for fourth along the way. And just kind of as an aside, very quickly, they're going to play the Buffalo Bills, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Packers as well. And then right behind them at 1,400, the Los Angeles Chargers. They're going to play them. They've got the Broncos at plus 1,800. They're going to play San Francisco plus 1,800. They're going to play them as well. So they've got a very difficult schedule. That's coming up in just a little bit. But I want to talk about this. Those odds are have improved from where we were just a month or so ago, where we were going into the draft. And now the Rams are out of the draft, as is everyone else. And those odds have changed a little bit. According to a different book, the Topeka sports book, the Rams are plus 1,000 to win the upcoming Super Bowl, and they're in third place. The Bills are plus 650. The Buccaneers are plus 700. So, all right, how did they do that? How did they not pick until number 104? Logan Bruss was their first pick, the guard out of Wisconsin. We'll talk about him coming up in just a little bit. But somebody help me with this. Somebody help me with how a team doesn't pick until 104, that a team has not had a first-round draft pick for six seasons, just went through another draft where they did not have a first-round draft pick, don't pick till 104, and yet they are considered in a better position than they were prior to the draft. Somebody want to tell me how that is possible? And even more than that, does someone want to tell me why this is not the way that everybody executes their draft? I know this is material that we've discussed in different forms in different places, but I'm just going to make it as simple as possible. How often is there a player on the board that you are certain is going to change the direction of your franchise? That there you look at it and you know that it's Peyton Manning. Okay, or you know that Andrew Luck, for instance, you know, was good, but even that's a, you know, it was good, but maybe not quite as good as you thought. The answer is you really don't. Once in a blue moon, and I'm gonna cross the streams here a little bit and use a basketball example. Once in a while, there's a LeBron James. You're like, yeah, barring injury, that's the guy, and that you got to have him, and you make the pick. How often? Not very often. The Rams have just basically said, you take all the high picks. We're going to collect assets. We're going to take some guys later on in the draft. We're going to take a bunch of them. We need three guys. We're going to pick nine guys. We're going to find three out of nine. We can bat 300, 3:30 in that case. We can do it. But I'll take Jalen Ramsey. I'll take Von Miller. I'll take, Dante Fowler, whoever it is that you're acquiring for these other picks along the way. They did it with all the other players that we've talked about, whether it's there's so many guys that I'm kind of blanking on some of the names right now. The wide receiver that they got from the Patriots that went to the Texans that was in New Orleans along the way. Real fast guy. I'm just completely blanking on his name right now. It'll come back to me. The guy that gets all the concussions. Brandon Cooks. I knew it would come to me eventually. Why would we want potential as opposed to production? I don't understand it. I really think that when you see things like this, look, the guys that make the odds, they know this better than everybody else. They can't get it wrong too often or they're out of business, right? Because that's how it works. Vegas knows better than anybody else because they have to know better than anybody else. So tell me again how picking prospects where if you bet 50%, you're doing better than most people, as opposed to give me Jalen Ramsey. Give me Matthew Stafford. There is no ambiguity on Matthew Stafford. There is no ambiguity on Jalen Ramsey. They're proven NFL players. They might turn into this or they might turn into that. Every time I see these odds, every time I see where they are, and I'm not going to say that the Rams are going to go win the Super Bowl. I hope that they do. But here's what I can tell you almost for sure. If you take injury out, and I'm not saying that the Rams are going to have less injury because this is true of everybody. So I don't think it's a variable really, other than you just hope to get a little lucky as opposed to somebody else. Because sometimes it happens a lot. Sometimes it happens a little. You hope to be on the right side of it. Nobody can really control it. But there is no chance that the Rams are going to be a bad team. There is no chance that the Rams are going to show up and say, oh my gosh, we thought they were going to win 12 games and they're going to win 4. It's not going to happen. But if you had 1-4 the previous year and you go and draft number 3, you could win 4 again. We were talking about the Bengals, right? They nailed their 2 picks. They nailed the quarterback with Joe Burrow. They nailed Ja'Marr Chase, and good for them. And they turned a dog of a franchise into a Super Bowl appearing franchise in a couple of years because they nailed 2 picks. How often does that happen? The answer is almost never. Almost never. The Rams said, nah. You guys do that. We're going to do this a little differently. I'm going to take your players. And my odds went up. They didn't pick till 104. Their odds went up. They didn't take a guy that was number one. They didn't take a guy that's in the first round. They take a guy that's in the first 100 players off the draft. It's extraordinary to me. It just, every time I see something like this, I'm like, I hope nobody catches on. But a lot like Moneyball and baseball, where Billy Beane kind of cracked the code, right? That he realized, wait, hold on a second. Strikeouts don't really matter. An out is an out. Whether you strike out or ground out to short, it doesn't matter. Batting average is not a big deal. It doesn't matter how many hits you get. It matters how often you get on base. Whether you walk or get a hit, it doesn't make any difference. You're on first base. So we're gonna find a market inefficiency where we're going to find guys that walk a lot, that know the strike zone. We're going to take a bunch of those guys. We're going to go win a bunch of games. And now everybody does it. Everybody realizes that on-base percentage is the number and all of these other things. OPS, right? New numbers because they tell a different story, the more accurate story. I think the Rams have cracked the code. This is a better way to do it than the way of, we got to move up a spot because that tight end out of Iowa State is a must. What? How about Aaron Donald? How about Jalen Ramsey? Aaron Donald's not a good example. They drafted him, but look where they got him. It wasn't at the very first pick. They knew he was going to be good. A lot of people, he's too small. Nobody knows anything. The sure things are so unusual. Give me the proven combined. Give me Ramsey. Give me Stafford. Give me Cooks. Give me, take your pick. Give me Von Miller. Give me those guys. You take my picks. You might get a guy. There's going to be somebody. The Rams could have picked that guy at, pick number 27 back in 2022. Okay, it's going to happen eventually. But what did we get done in the meantime? Saw those odds. It made me think about it all over again. And they're going to keep doing it until the rest of the league. And it's starting to happen a little bit. But until the rest of the league catches on, love it. Love it. And Les Snead is the guy that came up with it, and his relationship with Sean McVay, I think, is really fascinating. And we got a real glimpse into that relationship. We'll get into that coming up next. Look around on the roads, right? How many different cars, how many different makes, how many different models? Now imagine that you have one of those and you need to go find a part for your car. What are the chances of you walking into a chain store and finding that part? Probably not great. You probably, if you do find it, it's probably going to be really expensive, right? How about this? How about you save both your time and your money and go to Rock Auto? It's rockauto.com. Maybe you got more money than I do and you would just like to waste it, but I'd rather save 30, 40, 50, even 100% for the same parts from a chain store or a dealership. Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. Rock Auto, $216. You tell me which sounds better. And by the way, you can order it in your underwear sitting at home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do it. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they're going to have what you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oils, new carpet, you name it, Rock Auto's got you covered. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for all of your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, and click that subscribe button. If you've already done it, thank you. If you're a regular listener, thank you and welcome back. If you're a newbie, click that plus button, the check mark, the bookmark, whatever your format has, and you're going to get Locked On Rams every single day. Okay, so you may have seen this. There's a video that's been making its way around. It's from the Rams Inside the Draft series. And it's an exchange between Rams head coach Sean McVay and their general manager Les Snead. I think that it's pretty well understood that they have a positive working relationship, that these are guys that not just kind of, okay, I'm going to pick the players, you coach them up. They collaborate in a lot of these different things. And there was a discussion as they were getting ready to select Logan Bruss, who was their first pick, 104th overall, the guard out of Wisconsin. But the back and forth, and it was very honest and it was very revealing, I think. And we'll, McVay said, hey, we really got to ask ourselves, though, if we're going to give up a sixth, is that not worth it? That's what he said to Les Snead. Les Snead said, oh, is a sixth round pick worth a starting guard? Yes. The answer is yes. And McVay says, no, I know that. That's what I'm saying. At what point are we bidding against ourselves, though? Do we need to get in front of any of these teams, but also be aware that we're not competing? Should we call Cleveland? I just say, what's the worst thing for calling one of these teams? What's the worst thing they're going to say? In all seriousness, we have a guy that we identify, or do you sit tight for the next six picks and trust it? But I know this, we've gotten to 98. It takes so little to get up there. Is it worth it? I'm just throwing out possibilities. And then you heard Snead say, we need this lineman. We need a starter. Okay. I should say that was McVay said that last part there. This is going to work out exactly the way we wanted to. We finished it. I thought the exchange was incredibly revealing because it was this belief in each other. It was the belief in the processes that they go through to get to where they got to make the decisions, and just the calculus of when do you go and when do you wait. They know that they're not going to move from 104 to 4. That's not going to happen. But what they're saying, okay, we're here at 104. We're looking at the Browns, who were at 99. Do we jump into that right now? If it costs us a sixth-round pick to just get the guy that we believe has a chance to be a starter, why not go do that? And you can see the back because we think that none of these teams ahead of us are going to do it. Obviously, there's always the possibility that someone else sees them and they needed some help at guard and they jump in there. But the homework that's been done, the deliberateness of it all, and just the honest back and forth between these two guys, I thought was very revealing. Because how often do you hear about pushback in organizations? And one guy wants to know, I love this guy, and we need to go get him, and we need this, and we're gonna draft him. And the coach, well, I'm not even gonna use that guy. We're not gonna do that. And I'm sure that there are moments where the two guys are not exactly on the same page, but getting a chance to see that, getting a chance to see them have that dynamic, you can see why they have as much success as they do in the draft where they have it, right? You've heard me say, I said it in the previous segment where we're talking about the draft is an inexact science. And I think a lot of times it's because of opportunity and it's because of fit, that there isn't a spot to put a guy in. There isn't an opportunity to play. The coach never really was on board in the first place. The general manager has not done his homework and conveyed what he needs to get done for the team to the head coach. And you don't see it the same way, right? There are a lot of times where somebody will think A and somebody else will think B. But when you really have an honest dialogue about it and you can kind of land on a consensus, not every time, but a lot of the time. And when you hear them go back and forth like that, you can tell they trust one another. And it's cheesy, and it's you know, it could be on a Hallmark card or any of those things, but you know, teamwork makes the dream work. It really is true like that. And you hear all of the corny, maybe you think they're corny phrases that Sean, you know, it's not about the me, it's about the we, you know, be at your best when your best is required. And all of those things that he says all the time, they believe him. And it's not just something you say on a wall to try to motivate football. It's something that you believe in the way that you go about it. And I think that was a very good example why. And, oh, by the way, they got their guy. I'll tell you this, too. I don't know if I love that if I'm Coleman Shelton or Jermaine Ankrum, because I'm seeing the we need a starter at guard and thinking, hey, dude, I'm right here. I'm right here. I mean, I thought at least I had a chance to win that job, and I'm exaggerating a little. I think that they do have a chance to win those jobs, but I also think Logan Bruss has a really good chance to win that job as well. Having an organization that works. How often have you heard me say this on this podcast? Basic competency. Look, if you can find genius, great. If you can say for sure, here's the next Bill Belichick, or here's the next great general manager, whoever, you know, whoever your favorite guy of all time is, great. Good luck trying to mine genius. It's really difficult. Basic competency. Do you trust me? Do I trust you? Can we come to a collaborative solution on some of these things? If I give you this, can you work with it? Yes. If I give you this, can you work with it? No. Okay, then let's not take that guy. Let's pick a different guy. Let's find a way to make this work. And the Rams are about as basically competent, and I mean that as an extreme compliment. I know it sounds weird. The Panthers are a good example. Have they been basically competent? No. Cleveland, the Jaguars. There are so many teams, just no. Until very recently, the Arizona Cardinals, were they basically competent? No. Got some good players here and there, but you might have a good season here or there, but the sustainability is virtually zero. Are the Steelers basically competent? Hell yes. The Packers, yep. The Patriots, yep. The Seahawks, yep. They work. It works. And that little clip, that little back and forth, I thought was very representative of basic competency. Okay, so the schedule. We don't know exactly in which order, but we know who. And they did the math, and oh boy, get ready for a very, very challenging season. That's coming up next. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even the next NFL future bets. And let's just stop right here and take a little look at the MLB futures right now. The Angels are plus 175 to win the AL West. You could have made a little action if you would have listen to me a little bit earlier. I'm just saying they're getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Who knows? The Angels look like they're off to a great start. But this, all this information, it's available to you right at Bet Online. Head to the website today. Playoffs, esports, all of it. You can use your mobile device. You can go to the website to learn about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And I tried to tell you about the Angels. You should have listened. All right, so the schedule is going to come out on Thursday. Thursday night, we'll break it all down for you coming up on Friday. This is something I've been looking forward to. By the way, just very quickly, the NFL has turned over. We've known who they're going to play for months. We get a little trickle here. We know that the Cowboys are going to play the Packers in Lambeau Field. Mike McCarthy's good. Just the NFL is so good at just giving us little morsels here. Oh, the Rams are playing on Thanksgiving. We'll know that the Rams, who they're going to kick off the season. It's going to be Buffalo or Dallas. Probably Buffalo. Maybe Dallas is a second one. But the point is, we know who it is. We just don't know the order. This will change because, look, if you got Buffalo and Green Bay and Dallas and Tampa and San Francisco all in a row, that's brutal. Now, that's almost certainly not going to happen. They're going to spread some of those games out, but the Rams basically do not have an easy run through their schedule, okay? The NFL's hardest schedule for 2022 is based on the opponent's winning percentage from the year before, and that would be the Los Angeles Rams. The teams that they're going to play won 57% of their games last year, okay? It is a monster of a schedule. 10 games against playoff teams from last season. Okay. Obviously, you've got four in your own division because you've got San Francisco and you've got Arizona. You've got the Bucks, Packers, Chiefs, and Bills as well. Seven of their eight road opponents will have winning records from the year before. You get the AFC West, which has four good teams. Obviously, your own division is filled with good teams. You've got one-offs against Buffalo and Green Bay. Great. Those are teams that could both go to the Super Bowl. Another, your other NFC conferences are the NFC East, thank goodness, because that's the worst division in football. So you got a little bit of a soft spot there, but you had two playoff teams in that division. So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, you've got the NFC South. So you're going to get Atlanta and Carolina, who are probably not going to be very good. We'll see what happens with the Saints. And they get Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks again. The point being, it is a monster of a schedule, okay? You've got the – then you look at where they go on the, at home. You're going to get the Cowboys. You're going to get the Bills. You're going to get the Raiders. You have to play the Chargers. I mean, this is just an absolute meat grinder of a schedule, and how they all shake up. I mean, when you start to think about it, and again, well, we're going to break this down very quickly when it comes out on Thursday, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to need the Seahawks in the right place. You're going to have Carolina in the right place. You're going to need the Giants and the Commanders in the right spots, because if you get a bunch of those in a row, that's not good. It may help your record temporarily, but if you don't, the handful of games that you feel like will be eminently winnable, if they're lumped together or if they're very early in the schedule, now all of a sudden that thing becomes a monster late. You're always going to have a few more division games late than early. That's just the way that the NFL likes to set it up, and that makes sense. But you're going to want to spring, you know, hopefully you don't have Green Bay, San Francisco, and Buffalo in a month. That you don't have the Cowboys, the Bucks, and the, you know, the Arizona Cardinals all back to back to back. There are not a ton of soft spots in that schedule, as by the 57% winning percentage that you're going to have with your opponents. But the handful of teams that you get that are not expected to be strong, boy, you hope they fall at the right spot. You hope that the bye falls at the right spot. All this stuff coming up when we break down the schedule coming up on the Friday pod for Locked On Rams. So make sure that you check that one out as well. Schedule comes out on Thursday night. And then of course, you know, it has so much to do as well with who's good, because they were good last year. Most teams are, but not all. One of those teams over time, let's talk about the very good team. They're going to play the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Packers, the Bucks, and the Bills, okay? And so there's five games that you feel really – and San Francisco. San Francisco can be really good too. You play them twice, so that's seven games, okay? It's virtually half your schedule. We're getting close to it at least. One of those teams will not be as good as you think. It's just the law of the NFL. One of those teams will not be as good as you think. It's just somebody that's always good isn't the next year. But the opposite's true. Somebody, whether it's the Giants or the Eagles or Seattle, I'm trying to think of some of the other bad teams that they're going to play, Carolina, Atlanta, one of those teams, because they play nothing but the other bad teams. Somebody's going to be a little bit better than you think. And that game, they thought, okay, good. We get Atlanta here between San Francisco and Dallas or whatever it might be. Well, now all of a sudden you get that game and Atlanta comes in and they're 8-4. It's like, wait, what? How did that happen? Can't wait for it. I cannot wait for that schedule to come out. We can break down all of it, what the order is, where the bye fall. Do you get off to a good start? Do you have to close late? Do you have bad weather games? All that stuff coming up on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Rams. That's why you got to click that subscribe button. It is that important. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. Now make Locked On NFL your second listen. The schedule may be dark, but the NFL never stops, and neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from hosts, including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for real fans, so make sure you are subscribed to Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Schedule day coming up soon. Make sure you click that subscribe button. We are all over it on Friday. Till next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.